This is April 1st, 1987. Chapel service today is being done by the ADIV class, Associate of Divinity.
Y'all can smile, it's April, but May's coming. Let us pray. Father, we come to you this gorgeous morning, just thanking you for the many blessings you bestowed upon us. And Father, for the opportunity of being here and better preparing ourselves to go out and serve thee. Father, we thank you for each and every student that's here and for each and every faculty member. Father, we ask that you would just take each and every burden that we may have. Father, just lighten the load that in this time when we wind down, Father, we can just be at rest. Father, bless this service and each one that's participating. Lead, guide, and direct in all that we do. For it's in Christ's name we ask this. Amen.
Words can now describe its beauty as upon the stem it grows, matchless in its glory, the tender little rose. But when its petals are broken, its greatest beauty it shows, far more sweeter the fragrance of the broken rose. The most beautiful rose was broken one day, nailed to a tree on a hill far away, forsaken by his friends, bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose. They laid heaven's rose in a borrowed tomb, but on the third day heaven's rose again did bloom. Now to the heights of heaven, down to the deepest hell, the fragrance of heaven's rose continually dwells. The most beautiful rose was broken one day, nailed to a tree on a hill so far away, forsaken by his friends, bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose, forsaken by his friends, bruised by his foes. How sweet is the fragrance of heaven's sweet rose.
We've chosen for our scripture text this morning 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that great chapter about love. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love.
Good morning again. I was very happy and honored to be able to speak with y'all this morning. And I'm not sure quite still what it means. It's April Fool's Day, so I'm here, so I guess nobody was teasing me. But imagine with me for a moment that if Paul would write a letter today to the Southern Baptist Churches of America, what would he have to say? I believe the letter would start something like this. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to God, to the gospel of God, to the Southern Baptist Churches of America in Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I, Paul, marvel at how long you have had the gospel, and yet how very weak you are in walking with Christ. I, Paul, am speaking of the weakness in several areas of servanthood, love, and evangelism, the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ for which I gave my very life. We can imagine how this letter would further proceed. And now let us take a look at some of the areas mentioned. First, we have servanthood. We know that Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of true servanthood. In the 13th chapter of John, we read of the Jesus washing the disciples' feet. The very Son of God, God Himself, stooping down, taking a rag, and washing the feet. Jesus was trying to teach them something. Dr. John Eden says that Jesus Christ is love in the form of a servant. But Jesus' ultimate role of a servant was giving down His life, laying it down freely, going through the pains, the suffering that He had to endure for you and for me. Today we have the tendency of wanting to be served instead of serving each other. Our churches are filled with many chiefs, but very few Indians. Many are seeking after the glory that is only meant for God. We cannot do that. Dr. James Blackmore says that for us to accept the glory that was meant for God will crush us because we're mere human. And the glory that is meant to give to God, only He can take on such glory. And we ourselves should not seek after that. But be willing to serve and be willing to give the glory to God for all things. Second, we look at love. In 1 John 4:7-8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For the love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love." Now, as you may know, being here a few years, as Southern Baptists, we disagree on many things. And in our diversity, sometimes we overlook that word, love. Is there unity among diversity? I'm not quite so sure now. There is a way of repentance and coming back into the full realization. But whenever I hear people say that I'm conservative, or I'm moderate, or I'm liberal, or I'm fundamentalist, it breaks my heart. Because they're not saying I'm Christian. I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my soul. with all my being. We all do agree on one thing. As being Christians, we should all agree on the resurrection. It's coming that time of year when we celebrate it, though we should celebrate it every day and not just the special times of the year. Dr. Cook says, if you don't have the resurrection, if you can't agree on that, you ain't got nothing. But Jesus taught us how to love, and the world teaches us how to hate. We cannot call ourselves Christians and hate our brother. It's contradictory. We must restore one another, love one another, emphasize the points that we do have in common. Sure, we can find things that we don't have in common. You can walk down the street and find little things and then harp on it. But we need to come together in unity. The mission of Christ is vital for this. We cannot be split apart. Jesus taught us how to love. Reading the Bible, Jesus has taught us many things, and we should look to Jesus as our example. When Zacchaeus, when Jesus came into the town of Jericho, Zacchaeus, a tax collector, and we all know what tax collectors were famous for. They collected the money and a little over and a little over and a lot over until they became wealthy and the people became poor. They were known as crooks. But Zacchaeus was the head, the chief tax collector. And as Jesus was walking through the town, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus had climbed up a sycamore tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree, for today I must abide with you. Zacchaeus, surprised, came down, and the people, what is this? He's eating with a sinner? And another example, whenever Jesus Christ was confronted with the woman caught in adultery, and the Pharisees, by their law, was going to stone her. And Jesus says, well, let him who was without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, being convicted of their own sins, they threw down their own stones and walked away. And Jesus says, woman, where are those thine accusers? They don't condemn you, and neither do I condemn thee. And you know that Jesus Christ had all the rights in the world to pick up all the stones in the whole world and cast it out her. But that was not Jesus' mission. That's not Christian mission to judge. And yet we say, well, that happened then. It can never happen now. Well, it's happening right now. This very day, you remember in the news you hear about Jim and Tammy Baker. Now, I want to say that while I do not agree with everything that every evangelist and every person does, they are Christians. They have fallen. They have made a mistake. They have erred. They are human. We are human. We all have sinned, the Bible tells us, and fallen short of the glory of God. And there is repentance. There is no way for us to earn our way to heaven. And though sometimes today we sit back and we think that we're supposed to be perfect, that we're not supposed to sin, and that we cast those who have sinned out into darkness. We don't want anything else to do with them. We're too good. But we should restore Jim and Tammy Baker, because we have no right to pick up the stones. And any other evangelist or any other person that has fallen in our churches, we should restore them with love. That is why Jesus came. He is our example. And whenever we come together in love, and whenever we emphasize that point, and continually over and over and over again loving someone, looking for the good in them, then things are going to get better. Then with a truly repentant heart, God is going to turn this around. People say we're due for a split. And every time someone comes to the campus or comes to your church, you may disagree with them. There is more disagreement than love. Then put your arm around them and say, I love you. It doesn't matter what you believe, as far as we all believe the same thing as what it takes to be saved. God will judge each one accordingly. We are not to judge, but we are to love. And when there's enough of that to do and to go around to keep us busy for a lifetime. Last of all, we must be evangelistic. We're keeping the most precious gift in the world that we could ever have, a buried treasure. We're not getting out and spreading the good news that Jesus Christ came for, that all his disciples and many afterwards have died for. We need to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Churches today are becoming isolationists. They're isolating themselves together in the nice churches. They're turning inward instead of outward. The world is reaching inward. Our churches are beginning filled with the world. I remember one time working at a plant, and we used a battery-powered forklift. And all day long, we'll take the forklift around and lift up boxes and put it on the wherever it belongs. And all day long, that forklift worked, lifting up, lifting up, lifting up. And then at night, we had to hook it up to a power pack to recharge the battery. And that is how we as Christians are. We need to go into church. We need to fellowship with fellow believers to build up our spiritual batteries. And then we need to go out in the world fully charged and spread the good news and show the love that Jesus Christ has for us. And when we run down from that, we get back into fellowship again and we get built back up. And it's a never-ending situation, growing each time, growing each time. We cannot keep our batteries in one place because we would get complacent. This world is lost. This world does not know Christ. I have met people in Raleigh and talked with them that no one has ever shared with them the way to eternal life. They've never heard the word, the name Jesus Christ mentioned in the proper perspective. They are hungry. They want to know. And we as Southern Baptists have the duty to stop this fighting among ourselves and to show them love. Give somebody something to look at, an example. And we're not being that example at the moment. I remember reading the story of Tom Sawyer, how he needed someone. He hated to paint Aunt Polly's fence, but he had to. And all his friends were coming by, and he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make this look like fun." So he did. And so people paid him to be able to paint his fence. And we as Christians need to make Christianity look fun. They need it. The world needs it. And when the world looks at us and sees Christ, that's all that matters. In Atlanta, Georgia, this past summer, I was riding on MARTA. And I had a couple ladies behind me. One of them said, "I'd be so glad when these Baptists leave the town. They're causing nothing but confusion. The papers every day is filled with it." We have no control over the papers, but we give the papers every ounce of ammunition they need. And one lady said, "Well, they're worse than Shriners." And one other lady says, "Well, you know what a Shriner is a drinking Baptist." And that hurts me. They laughed. They had a good laugh out of it. But people are not looking at us today as some leadership, as some way that they can receive eternal life through Jesus Christ. Our lights are dim. It's flickering. Will it go off? It's such up to each one of us as Christians. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because all power has been given unto me, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now that command is as real today for us as it was back then for the disciples, and we need to take it seriously and show the love of Christ and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And everything else will take care of itself. In summary, as you go into your churches or whatever work you choose to go into after you leave here, be a servant. Teach your people to be servants to one another as Christ was a servant to us all. Walk in love. Love your brother.
Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter who they are. Doesn't matter what kind of money they have or don't have. But love them. Restore them. Bring them into the church. Bring them into the body of Christ. Christ is waiting. Christ is wondering what's going on. And spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, go with us now as we go out into the world proclaiming the good news of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Guide us that the whole world will truly see your light and your glory. This is our prayer as we completely seek your face and to do your perfect will. And all this, in Christ's name, we do pray this day. Amen.